Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of SJS here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. And today's show, as always, brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. Here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, where it's 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. By the way, this is Radio 1070 WKOK. We'll keep you up to date on the forecast. Have to keep you up to date on the forecast. Storm moving in our direction. What we get, how much we get, remains to be seen. So News Radio 1070 WKOK will keep you up to date with AccuWeather. Kevin did not like my proposal that the Steelers be stripped of 4 years of draft choices for the Mike Tomlin incident, but, you know, I'm just trying to be fair.
Are you doing the NCAA violation style now where you get stripped of everything for things that didn't happen on the field?
I'm just mad about things, and so I'm taking it out on everybody.
Well, that's fair. You know, at least you admit it. I understand.
I'm tired of it, so I'm going to make sure everybody else pays.
Everybody else to feel my pain.
Yeah, I mean, the Tomlin thing is the $100,000, I think, is spot on. But anything else beyond that, please. You know, when you take away draft choices, that needs to be something where the organization did something in mass. Take, for example, the New Orleans Saints with Bountygate. That was a conscious organization decision to go about and do something.
At multiple levels.
Right? All right, at multiple levels. Okay, now that's an organizational thing, and an organization should be, you know, fine, docked, draft choices, whatever it happens to be. I strolled into an area I shouldn't have strolled into.
It's not like Rooney said over the headset, hey, you need to get out on the field and stop this touchdown.
He's on the move. Get out there, Mike. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what you've got to, you know, you have to be realistic about what the penalty actually should be based on the crime. And that's what you have to be able to, and that's when they start proposing things like that, then I get a little antsy about stuff like that. Because to me, that's taking the penalty to the extreme. And the NFL has had some good moments and some bad moments in terms of how they have doled out penalties. Some good, some bad. And, you know, I think it's an issue as to that there's a lack of consistency on their part, because it always tries to seem on the surface they're trying to hit a home run with discipline all the time, when sometimes all you need is a single and it's good enough and people get it.
Steve, I was looking at this yesterday and I didn't get a chance to say anything to you, but the NFL on their London game next year is going to put the Lions-Falcons at 9:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 a.m. Pacific. So it kicks off at 1:30 London time. Now, I know Notre Dame had a weird kickoff when they played their game across the pond. What's Penn State's kickoff times look like it's going to be? Is that going to be an Eastern? Is that going to be set up in the Eastern, or is that going to be set up by Scottish time?
8:30 in the morning Eastern time, okay. 1:30 in Dublin.
I think that's interesting, and I wonder how that's going to work for the NFL with that game at 9:30 in the morning.
Well, they're deliberately putting it at 9:30 in the morning, so it's done by 12:30, and then you're going to the next game. They're trying to make it a quadruple header.
Well, that'll make Fox happy.
But they're trying to put together a quadruple header between 9:30, 1 o'clock, 4:25, 8:25.
By the time Hawaii gets a chance to watch that, it'll be, what, 3 in the morning?
Really don't try to think often about what they're doing.
As I've said many times, Hawaii is the perfect place to live if you're an NFL fan. First off, not to mention the weather being great, but you get up right away in the morning and the East Coast games start, then the West Coast games start, Sunday night football is there, and you still have time yet on your Sunday before you have to go to bed and go to work on Monday.
It's fabulous that you live in a world of nirvana. All right.
Listen, if you live in Hawaii, it's pretty close to Nirvana, all right?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. You know, I have friends that go there every year for about 3 weeks, and they love it. It's the greatest. Like, now, it doesn't help when I look at them and say, yeah, I think you're disgusting.
And they laugh at you while you're doing it.
They're like, ah, you're darn right. We think we're disgusting, too. All right, time now for a look at Inside Penn State Athletics, looking at Freshman of the Year Christian Hackenberg here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, only 12,000 miles, $34,999. 2010 Lincoln MKX, just one owner, $24,955. 2012 Kia Optima LX comes with a Carfax buyback guarantee, just $16,399. 2012 Hyundai Sonata, accident-free, fully serviced, just $13,796. And a like-new 2012 Ford Focus SE, lowest price promise, just $16,961. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. Jameis Winston finding out officially a little more than an hour and a half ago that he will not be charged, and that is now behind him. And when you look at a case like this, the state attorney was asked whether or not that she was credible, and he gave a very, I thought, interesting answer. And the answer was, there were a lot of holes in her statement. He says, whenever we think of somebody, we're going to put them on the stand. Can we make up for the holes with other evidence? And he said, we didn't have it. And he has to look at it that way. The other part, too, is people were wondering, okay, well, great, it was done on a Thursday. Remember the original answer he gave on all this? His original answer on all of this was, hey, look, we have other cases. Well, you have to remember that while Jameis Winston is a high-profile individual, a high-profile case that should never go to the front of the line. And the reason it should never go to the front of the line is that, look, there are other people out there who are alleged victims or people who are accused, properly or improperly, that want to know what the status is, and their lives are just as important as Jameis Winston's. So he gave the right answer. Are you alive? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening intently.
Oh, brother. It's going to be one of those days. All right, so Corey Geiger is going to join us a little bit later. It's to give me somebody to talk to, and we'll also have Russ Rose on the show as well with the NCAAs coming up under the guise of giving me somebody to talk to.
And coming up tomorrow, Tim Ford, the Shikellamy Braves, on the start of the basketball season.
No, I won't be here for that. Forget it. Forget that. I'm not doing that. Just kidding.
And also in the near future, maybe as early as Friday.
Now he wants to talk. All right.
Maybe as early as Friday, Ben Kaiser, Ryan's dad, will join us on the show to talk about his son's career at Penn State. and being a parent, finally getting a scholar, watching his son get a scholarship.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a big moment.
Oh, I know that was a big moment. Although I had to laugh because we had Ryan Kaiser at quarterback club about a month ago. And so I said, tell us about your family. So he mentions dad, mom, field hockey, you know, rest of the family. And I said into the microphone, I said, wife? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm married. I just bailed you out. He goes, oh, yeah. He says, oh, the best part of my life. I said, the best part of your life? I said, you just left her out of the family thing. I said, you're up in front of people. You forget things sometimes. You know, all those banquets I go to and I forget to thank Kevin for all the great things he's done. It's just because of nerves.
Right.
What? Oh, that's right. You guys have your big the thing I was invited to tonight that was impossible for me to go to. That's tonight.
Yeah, it's so sad you can't make it.
Yeah. Why don't you ask management that? All right.
They said, what day should we have it? I said, let's have it on Thursday. Oh, will Steve be able to make it? Oh, maybe. Maybe not.
I would have gone. If it had been any day but Thursday, I would have gone. If it were tomorrow night, would have gone. Last night, would have gone. Monday, would have gone, too, you know. But no. You picked a Thursday.
Strategically, I might add.
What do we do every Thursday for 7 months?
I have no idea. I don't have any idea what you do on Thursdays.
Every Thursday for 7 months.
It's not my problem. Anyway.
Yeah. Now, am I bumped for Santa Claus tonight?
Yes, you are. Talk to Santa on WKOK. Santa Trump Steve.
Well.
And if you you can't argue, because then you won't get anything for Christmas.
Well, I bought my own gift last year.
Ah, there it is. You know, it's one of those things that, why did I even go there? I knew it was going to go nowhere.
I mean, really, what's the difference? Yeah. In the end, I'm still buying my own stuff anyway.
Did you hear that the NFL is leaning away from a draft pick, and now they're thinking about some other sort of unforeseen ramification, like a tie-breaking procedure that might cause the Steelers more penalties later? Because the Steelers are a game behind the Ravens for the final playoff spot. Ravens scored 249 points. They've allowed 235. Steelers scored 263. They've allowed 278. Because the Ravens scored 3 points and not 7 on that drive, it could affect the playoffs. For that reason, that's why the NFL is not closing the case.
Well, I mean, you guys felt cheating was the best way, so, I mean, what the heck, you know? I mean, my team's trying to win championships legit.
I don't know. Listen, here's the thing. If the Ravens actually lose the final playoff spot to the Steelers, it's not because of that move. I can tell you that right now. It's because they tanked the end of the season.
Well, I think you're wrong about that. If the Ravens lose in a tiebreaker because they lost 4 points in that play, which, by the way, was incorrectly called by the official, they should have been awarded a touchdown in that play.
Yes.
All right? If they lose because of 4 points and differential, it should cost the Steelers a draft pick.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that means they tank the rest of the season. That's also what it means. Who's coming up, Steve?
They're 6-6. Okay? I mean, you're not tanking at the end if you don't get in on a tiebreaker. It means you're tied for the spot.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at REW Financial Services, LLC. Rick Weibel, give Rick a call, 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. This normally is all Steve Jones Thursday, but Santa Claus has told me you are out. You're gone.
Gone.
Thanks, Santa. Doggone Claus.
Be careful. You won't get anything for Christmas at all.
Yeah, I know, because of the golf tournament this year, we didn't win any gift cards for
That's
you to
right.
spend it on.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I like buying your own gifts. What a moment. All right, Santa. Let's see one night. Is he on every night or just Thursdays?
No, Monday through Friday.
Every night for
Monday,
an hour?
Monday through Friday, 6 to 7.
Takes calls?
We have five boys and girls that come to the studio to talk to Santa through the Magic Radio.
Wow. That's really cool.
It's a tradition that's gone on for well over 70 years.
Wow. I think that's really cool, actually. 5 nights a week. 6 to 7, all 5 nights, huh?
Yes. Also online at WKOK.com with a live video stream now.
It goes right up to Christmas Eve, or?
Yes.
You don't bring Santa in on Christmas Eve, do you?
Actually, Santa usually makes an appearance on the Magic Radio Christmas Eve for a short time.
Like before 6?
No, 6 o'clock as they're loading the sleigh.
As they're loading the sleigh, Santa
yeah.
comes in. Really?
Yeah.
Fabulous. That's a neat tradition. I like that tradition. All right. Let's bring in Corey Geiger. Corey made a basketball tour in the past few days. It was great to see you at Penn State and Pitt, by the way. What did you think of the two teams coming out of there, Corey?
I thought it was a terrific game. And like many people, especially college basketball fans, I'd love to see them play every year. Penn
yep.
State gave Pitt everything they wanted. I mean, we're talking about a Pitt team that's 106-3 all-time at the Pete against non-conference teams, and Penn State was in position to win that game. So I think there's clearly a lot to build on, and Penn State absolutely should be taken seriously. Any opponent that doesn't take Penn State seriously is nuts, you know, to speak to what Pat Chambers was saying after the game. Because with that kind of guard play in college basketball today, with so few outstanding big men anywhere, they're going to be able to compete with and beat a lot of people. So that's the good thing from Penn State's perspective, Steve. The bad thing is they let a golden opportunity slip away.
No question.
Because I think, you know, say they go 8-10 in the Big Ten, which, you know, would be tough to do. But say they do, I think they'll win the rest of their non-conference games, which will put them at 10-3. But the only good RPI win they've got is St. John's. Like, LaSalle, I think it's around 170. St. John's is 91, you know. So that would have been a good RPI win. If they go 10-3, their non-conference RPI, it's just not going to be good enough. It's just flat not. If they go 8-10 in the Big Ten, well, their RPI will take, you know, they'll get a big boost. And, you know, bottom line is they're going to need to be in that 60-75 range in RPI at the end of the year. To have a shot at an at-large bid, and that's where that Pitt loss and the Ole Miss loss, I think Ole Miss is 58 in the RPI.
Right.
You know, losing both of those games close when they could have won either one, those really would have paid off down the road.
In fact, that was one of the first things I talked about with Dick after the game, that this was one of those NCAA games that you look at later and say, okay, when you're looking at full resume, where does this fit? And then, you know, and I think that's an important point to make in this. Now, what about Pitt? We have a lot of Pitt fans that listen to the show, listen to your show as well. What did you think of them on Tuesday night?
Well, they're a tournament team. I'm stunned that they're not ranked.
Agreed.
You know, Pitt has enough respect, you know, has enough tradition and respect over the last decade that you would think an undefeated Pitt team would be ranked, although they lost a lot from last year. But they're going to the tournament. I mean, I'd be shocked if they don't go to the tournament. They're, you know, the one thing about Pitt going into the ACC that I felt Jamie Dixon was going to have to make adjustments. And, you know, some of this is the biased fan in me. Some of it, I think, is the reality. I don't think Syracuse has to make a lot of adjustments going into the ACC.
No.
They can play – they have played that style to succeed in the ACC for a long time. Pitt needs to make adjustments to go succeed in the ACC, and I saw some of those. He played some zone. They can score. They're averaging 80 points a game, mm-hmm. which in the ACC, it's not like the Big East or even sometimes the Big Ten. You got to be able to score in the ACC because those teams can score. So, you know, just watching them for that one game, you know, they put up 50 in the second half. They're making strides to the point where I think Jamie Dixon understands he's going to have to change his program a little bit if he's going to have success in the ACC.
I mean, yeah, I look at certain things that they did the other night. Like, for example, Patterson. Patterson can play anywhere, anytime.
Yep.
The one guy I'd be a little bit concerned about, just on a night-in and night-out basis in the ACC, is Robinson. I think Robinson's a good point guard, but he's a guy I'm going to bear watching because he's going to have to run the show in key moments in venues that he hasn't been in before.
Well, Zana was impressed. Zana was good. I agree with that. Zana was good. You know, they've got some inside presence, and Jamie Dixon is a good in-game adjuster
yep.
in the regular season anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him make a lot of great adjustments in the regular season during games. And they did that in the second half, pounding it down low. So those were all impressive aspects. Again, I don't think this is as strong a Pitt team as we've seen most years for the last decade. But they're a tournament team.
Yes.
And you know what, Steve? A lot of times they've gone into the tournament as a 2 or 3 seed, and they've underachieved. You know, who knows? Maybe this could be the kind of year where they sneak into the tournament, you know, kind of under the radar a little bit, and sometimes those are the teams that end up going further than you expect.
Yeah, they'll be a tournament team, and they will make a lot of inroads in the ACC right away. Next, you went to St. Francis last night. Your thoughts on that one?
Well, I wrote about this extensively in the Altoona Mirror today, and I will tell your audience, because you have Rob Krimmel on the show mm-hmm. a good bit, and I've dealt with Rob for 15 years. Let me just say personally, there aren't many, if any, people that I respect in the sports business more than Rob Krimmel as a human being. I mean, Rob is just the salt of the earth. I mean, really, he is a very smart guy. He is incredibly professional. You know, I've done this for 21 years. I put him in my top 2 or 3 people that I've dealt with ever. So I do have immense respect for Rob Krimmel as a human being. But at the same time, he is 6-31 in 2 years at St. Francis.
Right.
And they lost by 32 points at home Saturday to American. Now, American came into that game, I believe, 1-4. And they beat St. Francis by 32 at home.
Right.
Now, look, that's how you have to separate personal from sports. You know, Rob is a great guy, but that is flat unacceptable. They lost to Lehigh last night by 7. They showed good effort. They're now 1-7. They've lost 6 in a row. But you just can't – you can't lose by 32 at home to American and then, you know, have the kind of losses that their losing streak's probably going to, you know, extend. It's a shame what's going on up there. I've covered them for 15 years, and there's good people at St. Francis. But that basketball situation is really a train wreck, Steve.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill Parcells always said, he says, you know, your record says who you are. Now, would you like to get a better gauge on them as a program midway through the Northeast Conference, since in the end that's what the reality is for them? Is that a fair question on my part or not?
I'm very glad you asked that. That is the question. That's the best question that can possibly be asked about St. Francis, because they're such a low-level Division I program that almost everybody they play in the non-conference is going to be better than them. So I do try to temper some judgment on them until they get to the Northeast Conference. Then they're playing, you know, they're all the teams in the Northeast Conference are generally the bottom 100 teams in the RPI kind of thing. So, and they're going to fare better against those caliber of teams. They typically do. But again, that's what was so troubling about losing by 32 to American at home, because American, is one of those teams that's very similar to St. Francis. So, you know, we'll see where they are in another month or two. But, you know, they're 1-7 right now. They'll probably start 1-11, 1-12. And the problem that they have every single year is, well, you're buried under an avalanche. Do you lose your kids? Do you lose your team? Do you lose all of their confidence and focus before you even get to the conference schedule where you can kind of compete?
Interesting point. Football moving forward, just some final thoughts from you to tie that up as we go through this.
Well, just I'll agree with everybody else. Just a terrific win at Wisconsin, 7-5. Looks and feels a whole lot better. Now those kids during the off season, during the workouts, during the weightlifting and everything, they can all look to. If I can, Steve, I'll compare it maybe a little bit to the basketball win over Michigan last year.
Yeah.
Because when you get that good of a win that late, it just drives everybody to help everybody else stay focused and to concentrate and to have confidence. Because no matter how bad things are going, when you beat Michigan at home and Michigan goes to the Final Four in basketball, or you go beat a team that's rolling over everybody like Wisconsin in football, that helps get you through that workout during the off season. That helps you push your teammate to get through that workout during the off season because you know that, hey, you're seeing some benefit from all of that hard work. And maybe it's benefit that nobody thought you could do. Nobody thought they'd beat Michigan last year. Nobody thought they'd beat Wisconsin on Saturday. But when you do that, the motivation aspect that can continue from that within the players on that team and the coaching staff, I think it's really just an immense value.
Yeah, they'll get a lot of juice out of that. And again, when it comes to the bowl thing, the one part that I don't like about it is the number of practices they'll miss. In other words, this coaching staff from the time from November 30th until at some point in mid to late March, mid-March actually, won't actually have coaching contact with them. And I think I'd like to see them have like 10 to 15 more practices with this group. But that's to me the one downside of it.
There's no doubt. And I think your listeners are smart enough football fans to know that every practice is important. You know, I heard people say in the past, well, if they get an NIT bid in basketball, you know, if you're a caliber of program, should you turn it down? No.
Never.
Every player in every sport should get at least a very tiny bit better with every practice. So the football players are missing out on that. But I'm thinking, Steve, you know, maybe next year they'll get the bowl game back.
Yeah.
Next September when George Mitchell makes his recommendations. I'm thinking that maybe he'll give them the last 2 years back on the bowl game. You know, maybe not. Maybe it'll just be the final year in 2015. But I heard you ask this to Neil Riddell the other day, and you know, I'm a big believer in this, that they went 8-4 and 7-5 in the 2 years after the sanctions. They may have bottomed out already. And who in the world would have believed that bottoming out from the sanctions might be 7-5? Everybody who follows Penn State or loves Penn State football, you know, would have taken that bottoming out a year and a half ago, because next year, you know, especially if Allen Robinson stays, there's a chance that they, you know, are back up in the 8-win range or even more.
Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned that Prague, you equated that to NIT practices. Absolutely right. Look at Pitt 2 years ago, took the CBI, won the CBI, and actually made themselves a better team out of it heading into the next year. And that was the CBI.
Yeah. Practice is so important. I mean, you get better in practice, and you push your teammates, they push you. There's no question it's a benefit, for any athlete.
Corey, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. It was great seeing you the other day.
You too, Steve. Enjoy the rainy weather here. We'll catch up with you at Jordan Center soon.
Sounds great. Corey Geiger with us. Give us a little basketball insight there. Kevin is going into a game tomorrow night that he knows nothing about.
Actually, that's probably a little true.
No, we don't specialize in little truths here, Kevin. All right, we'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Another bad day for our profession. There was a reporter in Tallahassee. Now, this is the good part. Who properly sourced it and put out about 20 minutes ahead of time that Winston was not going to be charged. Turned out his report was absolutely accurate.
Okay.
Then the state attorney had his press conference. Then someone from NBC tweeted as their headline, Winston stiff arms, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. You're like, oh. They took it down almost immediately. What is wrong with our profession right now? And I mean, what's wrong? What's wrong with it?
Well, it comes from a network who was fourth or fifth to the all sports table, and are trying to make a name for themselves.
Nah, everybody's doing it though, Kevin. I mean, Twitter is so improperly used these days. And in the bottom line is, Twitter, I think, is going to be how people get their news over the next 5 years. I really believe that.
That's a scary thought.
No, I believe that's the trend of where it's going in terms of where people will get their news. They're going to look at their Twitter and go, oh, wow, really?
But the problem is, if you're not clicking on the link that goes with it, you're not getting the full story. That's the thing that I worry about the most.
People rarely click on the link because they're too busy with what's going on. They'll see it and they'll go, okay, oh, Winston wasn't charged. How many people do you think clicked on the link as they're walking or going through their day? Or maybe tonight they might.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe later on, but maybe as the instant it comes up, that you may be right about that. We find with a lot of our tweets, and especially with a lot of the text alerts that the news department sends, a lot of people click on those right away. But I think Twitter might be a little different.
Yeah, but those are different, okay? Something high profile like this involving two people, you send out a news alert on WKOK on Twitter or by text, and it's, hey, road closure, something that legitimately affects your life.
That's true.
The Winston thing doesn't affect anybody's life except Winston and the accuser. Oh, yeah, it has an effect on the Florida State football team. Okay? But I just don't, I don't like this trend. For example, we do a show here every day, 2 hours a day. So Kevin and I are on 10 hours a week here. And it's a show. That's why he and I banter back and forth, and he attempts to cut me to ribbons, and I play innocent. Yeah. No reaction.
No.
No reaction.
No.
But it's a show, and that's why we have fun with it, and we kind of banter back and forth, and Bob comes on, and we banter back and forth. We try to get as many intriguing guests as possible, try to ask good questions, get good answers, because it's a show. But the news, whether it's sports news or news, is not a show. And that's one of the problems that we have now, is they've turned the news into a show. Headline is a show. You know? Look at me, look at what I wrote on my headline. That's the problem I have. And in part of what is the show is the bias that comes out. And that bothers me. And it's not like the industry has changed that much. Look at you go back in the history of the William Randolph Hearst accusations of yellow journalism back in the early 19-teens, right? Happened all the time. So maybe it hasn't changed that much, but geez, there are too many people trying to become stars based on news. Well, I mean, the story's always the star. No, but again, we do a show here. It's an opinion show. Russ Rose, next half hour. Then we'll have open lines. Tonight's Thursday nighter, Houston and Jacksonville.
Yay.
Kevin, I'm telling you right now, on cable, it'll be the winner tonight.
That's bad. That shows you how bad everything else must be.
I don't like the NFL, the 9:30 thing in London. What, they want a quadruple header? They're pushing it a little too far right now, and I think they've got to be a little bit careful about oversaturation. But what do I know? I'm just doing this show, and they're running a multi-billion-dollar business into the ground. All right, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.